Let's think about peace for a moment. What is peace? Jesus brings it up. What does it mean to you and to me? As we begin this investigation, I invite you to take a moment to imagine a scene of peace in your head. What is the setting? Who is there, if anybody? What's happening? We all probably have different ideas of what peace means, but there are three really big categories that come up again and again that I would like to highlight. The first one we relate to peace is quiet. There are a lot of families at Prince of Peace that have little ones in their families. And whenever we talk to them, quite often we ask them about their night. How was your night? Was it quiet? Was it peaceful? I remember raising rambunctious children and seeing them run around my house, and usually with a whole bunch of other friends behind them, running around making all types of noise, and thinking to myself, if I could just have a moment of peace, then my head would work better. Another big way we think about peace is in terms of safety, community safety. We all know how close community violence can hit to us. And we lament the idea that people are turning to weapons, to fists, to solve their problems. And we think if people could just lay down their weapons, if they could just lay down their fists and have a conversation, then we could have peace. And then a third big way we talk about peace is in terms of justice. Our hearts go out to the people whose voices are silenced for whatever reason. Maybe it's racially or economically or politically. People we know who are suffering, but their needs are not being met and their voices are not being heard. And we think, if only there was justice, then there would be peace. And certainly there are many other categories of peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, but I do not give as the world gives." So what then do you think Jesus would imagine if Jesus were to imagine a scene of peace? What do you think is going on in Jesus' head when Jesus considers the meaning of peace? Well, certainly we can't read Jesus' mind and we don't know what his imagination gave him, but he is uniquely qualified to show us peace by his example. And we know this because long before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah described the Messiah using these words: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I'm guessing you already are familiar with this particular passage. But yes, Jesus, as our Messiah, came to us as the Prince of Peace, which means we can look to his life for examples of what peace means. So let's reflect on Jesus' life in terms of these three big categories that we defined as peace. Let's talk about quiet. Was Jesus a quiet man? Well, certainly there are big swaths of Jesus' life that we know nothing about. His childhood, his young adulthood, we don't know. Maybe he was a very quiet person during that time. And we also know that he would sometimes go off to a quiet place to pray. So yes, he had some quiet moments. But overall, when we read the scripture about Jesus' life, he is talking. He's talking nonstop. It starts at the age of 12. Remember, he was in Jerusalem with his family, and he was talking, talking, talking. I can only imagine his family kind of stopped hearing. You know how it is. He's talking. He needs somebody to hear him. So he goes to the temple and he finds rabbis, he finds religious leaders, and he starts talking with them. But he does more than that. He doesn't just speak with them. He opens the scriptures and starts teaching them. He is talking and talking. And then we jump a bunch of years till the beginning of his public ministry at the age of 30. Jesus is talking. He's talking to everybody. He's talking to Jewish people and Roman people and people who are on the outside and people who are on the inside and the powerful people and the weak people. And he's talking so much that when he goes to his hometown, they're about to throw him off a cliff. They just want some quiet. I think Jesus was a big talker. I don't know that we can say he was a quiet person. Then let's think about this category of community safety. Certainly, Jesus was a representative of a nonviolent leader. In fact, people who don't even believe he's the Son of God will still lift him up and put him on par with people like Gandhi and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as examples of leaders in nonviolent resistance. Jesus did not carry a weapon. He did not use his fists. He did not raise an army. However, do you remember that other scene in the temple when he goes there and people are cheating other people out of the sacrifices they're going to make, their unequal money lending, and he gets so righteously angry that he starts throwing their tables around and knocking down their booths and creating a whole big scene of chaos, very physically reacting to his anger and what he saw. And I would say that he did not create a calmer situation. In fact, it became a lot more dangerous for him and his disciples after this outburst. He wasn't exactly trying to stay safe. And then what about justice? Of course, Jesus cared about justice. He cared about those voices that were being silenced. And so he purposefully went and had conversations with these people. We know about the widows and the orphans. We've talked a lot lately about how in Jesus' patriarchal culture, the women didn't have a lot of power or rights without a man in their family. So the women's were among the most vulnerable people in his society. The only category that was more vulnerable than women would be children. So Jesus made a point of having conversations, hearing the needs of the women and the children, welcoming the children to come to him. But he did a little bit more than that. He talked to other people as well, listened to their silent voices. He went to the sick people. The sick people, everybody was scared of the sick people. They had to stay on the outside of society. And so Jesus would go and talk to the sick people. And that freaked a lot of others out. He didn't stop there. He went to hear the voices of the people that society just didn't like very much, like the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the criminals, the insane, the guy out in the cemetery. He went and talked to those people, making a lot of others really anxious. He didn't stop there. He continued to talk to the Romans and the guards, the centurions. And while he's doing all this talking, hearing all these voices, lifting up everybody's needs, he's pointing the finger at those who have the power and are abusing it, particularly the religious and the political elite. Jesus was busy talking about justice, but from a certain perspective, you could see that it could be characterized as stirring the pot and creating more chaos. Society was getting in an uproar. So, what is this peace that Jesus says he wants to give, but he does not give as the world gives? These things don't resonate very well with those first images of peace that we talked about. But Jesus said, I don't give as the world gives. And if we look back at those first three categories, quiet and community safety and justice, we were aiming for calm and quiet and comfortable. We see that all of those things are dependent on the world. These are not things we can control. We can't force anybody to be quiet. We can't force anybody to lay down their weapons and be nonviolent. We can't force anybody to be just, because by the mere act of forcing them, we become coercive, which in itself is violence and the opposite of peace. the peace that we typically talk about and long for is the peace that the world gives. So what is this peace that Jesus gives that's not as the world gives? We look at Jesus, our Prince of Peace. We look at his life and we see that he was able to maintain peace in lots of difficult situations. Even our reading today, he is busy preparing his disciples for his walk to the cross. And he is able to maintain peace even when people are loud and people are violent and people are unjust. Jesus had his peace. He had his peace on his way to the cross. He had peace on the cross. He had peace certainly after the cross when he rose again. Jesus' peace was not dependent on the world giving him anything, and it was nothing the world could take away. Jesus' peace was a pure spiritual gift. A gift that cannot be dependent on the world in any way. A gift that comes only and 100% from God. This is the peace that Jesus gives. This is the peace that is different from what the world gives. This is the peace that Jesus gives to us. A peace that comes from God, a peace that can be maintained no matter what is happening around us. Jesus, on his way to the cross, he was in a collision with all the forces of evil in this world. Everything evil and hard, all the suffering that the world could give piled on top of him, and he maintained peace. Often when we talk about peace, we think about cloistering ourselves away from the difficulties of the world. We want to go to a spa. We want the beautiful harp in the background. We want it to be calm and maybe even empty of other people. But this isn't the peace that Jesus gives. Jesus gives us a peace so that when we are in the noisy places, when we are in the dangerous places, when we are in the places where there is no justice, we can still have peace. And this changes us because we are confident, when we have peace, we are confident that we are beloved, that we are forgiven, and that we will be cared for all of eternity, which means when we go into the world, we are bringing this peace of Jesus with us. And Jesus doesn't call us then to stay away from the world, but in fact, to follow him, to go right to the crossroads where the world is colliding and about to take us down. This is where Jesus calls us with this peace. Jesus calls us with peace to go to the noisy places on purpose, to go to the places where people are disagreeing and turning to all types of methods to answer their own needs, even though they are destructive. And Jesus is calling us to go to the places where there is no justice. And what do we do when we go there? As we are empowered by this sense of peace, we go there and proclaim Jesus' name. We proclaim this wonderful counselor and this mighty Lord, this everlasting Father. We proclaim that the Prince of Peace is here and his kingdom is here. It is here now. And we can testify to that because we are living in it. And because the kingdom is here, that means that justice is coming. That means that people are going to have the opportunity to grow. That means that we are going to know God more. And we are an important part of making this happen in the world. As people with this gift of peace, we are sent into the world to proclaim the name of Jesus. And when we do that, we make his kingdom come. And we become his body, his hands and his feet, enacting that kingdom in those places that don't know peace. This is a very special Sunday. You may have picked it up at the beginning of the worship service. If you follow the church's liturgical calendar, you will know that this is New Year's Eve. This is the final Sunday in the church's calendar, also known as Christ the King Sunday. That makes next Sunday, New Year's Day, the beginning of Advent. To get to Christ the King Sunday, it means we started our year waiting for the Messiah, celebrating his birth, watching what happens through his life, and seeing how the world is changed because he lived. And at the end of that whole year, no matter what happened that whole year, we can confidently proclaim that Christ is the King. He always was and he always will be. So this is that day. We look back over the last year and say, yes, Christ is King. It's also a unique Sunday because we are looking ahead to Thanksgiving and this holiday where gratitude is expected. And sometimes the world is so harsh and our suffering is so extreme that we start to think we have nothing actually to be grateful for. And so today we are reminded that no matter what is happening in our lives, we are grateful because the Prince of Peace has given us his gift. And we have been sent into the world to enact his kingdom. And if there is nothing else to be grateful for, we can be grateful for that. The world is changing because Jesus has given us this peace. So today, we need to wrestle with our concept of peace and Jesus' concept of peace and figure out what that means for how our lives are going to change now that we understand this profound gift that we have received. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.